before him.
Bible tells us every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is indeed Lord. Bow the knee to him today before you bow the knee to him as your judge. For we shall all, we are assured in the Bible, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It is appointed for man to die once. After this, then comes what? The end, finito, end of story, black hole, unknown, 6 feet of earth. No, after this, then comes the judgment. There is something to be saved from, your personal involvement in sin, a sinful nature, and the consequences of that, sinful practice, word, thought, and deed, and of course, well, your sinful reasoning. You know, the modern day religion, you might say, popular religion in your country today is that of evolutionism. People, they say, well, I'm not religious. They say that evolution is not a religion. Yes, it is. All your propagators of it, those who have popularized it, the philosophers down through the years, they have all of them rejected the creative activity of God and the biblical record that God has given us on the basis of anti-God feeling and thought. Darwin, he called the eternal punishment of God a damnable doctrine. Before him, the German Hegel was confronted with the facts that ran against his system. Then damned be the facts, he said. As long as it fits their system, they go with it. It is anti-God, anti-creationist, it is anti-supernatural, and there is nothing at all scientific about it. Evolution is a lie. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Jesus Christ as God speaking in the Bible authoritatively. And finally, there is no higher authority, I tell you, in all the universe, in all eternity. We shall all of us appear before him, and we shall all of us bow before him, and we shall all of us with our tongues confess indeed that he is Lord. Jesus Christ, that is, not the God who is the figment of your imagination, not the religion of your choosing, but biblical Christianity. Jesus Christ, Lord of all, God over all, the one who created you in his own image, and the one who has a rightful and sovereign claim over your being, over your life, over your future and your destiny. So I bid you this afternoon to take a copy, if you will, of God's Word. Read for yourself. See that the things that we declare to you here this afternoon are truth in accordance with the Word of God. Bible's revealed will. God's revealed will in the Bible, rather. Take for yourself. Examine. Read. And who knows, maybe God will command the light to shine into your heart and mind and reveal the knowledge of himself in salvation and in love to you. Truth of the matter is, of course, that you already know God. You already know that he exists. God says in his word, he has made that plain to you. He says he has shown it to you. And he says that you even understand it. But of course, the knowledge that you have of him is in wrath, is in holy displeasure. We're here this afternoon to declare the gospel to you in order that you might come to know him in a different fashion, that you might come to know him as your loving creator, as your redeemer, that you might know him in grace and in salvation. that comes to a person when they raise the white flag. That is when they surrender, submit themselves to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ, in repentance and faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, is God's command with the promise. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel command of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But as I say, there is no higher authority, no higher place that you can go to in all the world, in all the universe. Jesus Christ, His name, and that, of course, the revelation that is to be found in that name. There is no higher name, no higher authority. So therefore, the word of salvation that comes to you from Him through the Bible, through the word of God, is commanding, is fully authoritative. The infallible, unsearchable riches of God and His grace found in Holy Scriptures, found in the Bible, and in the Bible alone. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by God. Nobody takes authority. Nobody has authority unless it's given to them by God. No government, the Bible tells us, but that is appointed by God Himself. Matters not what nation you live in. Its government, its method of rule is appointed by God. And of course, the Bible tells us clearly that no religious authority is given to anyone. The high priests in the Old Testament of the Bible were all of them appointed by God. And just so the Son of God, when He came not on His own authority. He came not to do His own will, but He came on the authority of God His Father. He was sent. He was sent by God Himself into the world to be the Savior of the world. He was given the name by His Father. You shall call His name Jesus. Why? Because He shall save His people from their sins. He came sent. He came with the full divine authority, and He came with the mandate to save. Not to destroy, He said. Not to destroy men's lives. Not to kill. I didn't come for that, He said. I didn't come to condemn. Because, well, you are already condemned in your sin, in your unbelief. No, I didn't come for that. I came to save, I come to rescue men and women from their sin, from their sinful state. So He comes, you see, the authorized, appointed, sent by God, only Savior. There is no other. It's of no value going to any other authority in these matters. Jesus Christ alone, one Son of God, the only Son of God, sent by God, authorized by God, with full authority to save. And if it is His divine will to save you this afternoon, believe me, He will do it. He has the ability, not only the authority, but He has the ability to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. Matters not where you've been, matters not where you've been sleeping, matters not what you've been involved in, matters not the depth of your sin, matters not the depth and the height of your guilt. There might be mountains of it, and there probably is. You have a debt of love that you owe to God. God's commands are summed up in this. Jesus says that you should love God and your neighbor as yourself. If you haven't loved God every day, every hour, every moment of your being, then you have a debt of love that you owe to God that's mounting up day by day. But no matter how mountainous, no matter how great that debt is that you owe to God, Jesus Christ is able. He has the ability and he has the authority to save to the uttermost of your sin and its guilt. Be assured, rest assured, please, this afternoon, whoever you are, wherever you're coming from, whatever your background, whatever your catalogue of sin, here is one, here is a name, Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, came full of grace and truth, has the grace, has the power, has the ability, and has the authority to save even you, if you will but bend the knee, if you will but submit to the authority and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by God, the only appointed and the only Son of God, and the only appointed Savior that God has sent to us. But then in the Bible, we're told also that Jesus Christ had the authority to teach. And the people of his day were absolutely astonished at his teaching. Why? Because of the eloquence? Because of the way that he spoke? No, not at all. You see, the religious hierarchy in his day were always pointing to the religious traditions. Religious tradition, even today, is one of the greatest hindrances to the gospel, to the salvation of our nation. Now, Jesus Christ never done that. They would point to their rabbis, they would point to their traditions, they would point to their rabbinical teachers, instructors from the past, but Jesus Christ cut through all that and he said, but I say to you. Why? Because there's no higher place that he can go, no higher authority to which he can point. Jesus Christ, you see, is Lord, not Muhammad. He's dead and buried and gone to hell. Not Buddha. He's dead and buried and gone to hell as well. No, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's alive from the dead, who defeated sin and death, and who's alive forevermore, sits on the pinnacle of the universe, even this very day, rules throughout the world, all creation, rules throughout the world, its history, its governments, and rules, yes, even over you today. Jesus Christ is Lord, and this is seen also in his authority, in his teaching. And of course he gives us evidences of this by his prophetic ministry. He described in some detail the downfall of Israel, the downfall of the Jews, because of their rejection of their Messiah. He predicted, he prophesied that it would be utterly destroyed. And this, of course, we know from history, both secular and religious, this came to pass in AD 75. You see, the authority of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is one whose word you can take. Here is one whose word you can trust. Here is one whose word is authoritative over the government of the day, over your own government, over any state, over any educational system, over any scientific theory, over any scientific guru. Jesus Christ is Lord, the authority, the power in his teaching, able to bring you to a knowledge, an understanding of the truth. And it's the truth, Jesus says, it's the truth that will set you free, liberate you from your fallen reasoning, liberate you from the totality of your fallenness, liberate you from your sin, its guilt, the condemnation that you are under as a result of your unbelief, your refusal to bow the knee to and to believe in, to trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. But then in the Bible, Jesus tells us that he also has the authority to forgive sin. You see, no one else has that authority. authority is not given to popes, is not given to priests. Jesus Christ alone, the Son of Man, he says, has the authority, the given authority, to say to any person, your sins are forgiven. So you see, unless you have heard the words of absolution, the words of forgiveness from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you're still in your sins. But here's the question, here's the importance of this. Do you know where to go to? Do you know who to go to? When your conscience kicks in, you know, when God enlivens it, you know, when God awakens it, as one day he surely will. Maybe perhaps today it's asleep. Maybe today it's dead. Maybe you've so hardened yourself, you no longer have any sense of what's right or wrong. But I can guarantee you this from the Bible, the day is coming when your conscience will be awakened, albeit in the day of judgment. I hope before then, in order that you might be saved. But I tell you, when your conscience is awakened, when you begin to feel the smart of sin, believe me, you're given just a glimpse of your sin, the reality of it, you would swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ. But in that day, when your conscience is awakened, do you know where to go? Do you know what to do? Do you know how to find forgiveness? Not many people do in your nation today.
God bless you, Mike. God bless you.
You too, sir. Thank you. Do you know where to go? Do you know who to go to? It's an important question, because many people deal with their consciences in the wrong way. Some turn to alcohol. No, they don't set out to become drunkards. Nobody does that. You know, just numb, a bit of numbness, you know. Take the edge off the sense of reality. You know, that's why I guess most people, you know, get into drunkenness and drug abuse, because reality is just too much for them to bear. It's the same with atheism. It's a crutch for those who can't stand the reality of God, can't cope with the reality of God. So, you see, people, you need to know where to go, you know, to numb your conscience with alcohol or with drugs, whether legal or illegal. It's no way. Some people come to religion and they think that by their religious works, you know, that they'll appease God and they'll counter, you know, the guilt of their sin. Well, these are no ways to deal with a guilty conscience. There's one way and one way only, and Jesus Christ is that way. The Son of Man, you see, has the authority, and he alone has the authority to forgive sins. It's to him that you must go. It's to his cross that you must go. Jesus Christ came into the world, you see, for this very purpose, to save, to rescue sinners. He came to die for the ungodly, those who in nature and practice are contrary to God, those who in their lives are running against God, living with their fists in their maker's face. Jesus Christ came into the world and died and paid the price, you know, paid the price in full for the sins of those who would put their trust in him, who would repent, that is, and believe the gospel, who would change their minds about God, change their minds about their sin, come from it, and turn to God's Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, people, you know where to go. Jesus, the cross of Calvary, where the Son of God has spilled his blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, and that you might know peace of conscience, that you might know the surpassing peace of God, passes all understanding, the Bible tells us. So you see, it's to Jesus that you must go for pardon, for forgiveness, for peace. And of course, well, the Bible also tells us that Jesus Christ has the authority to rule in all realms. That's what the Bible means when it says that Jesus Christ is Lord. In the spiritual realm, in the moral realm, over principalities and powers, over the forces of evil and darkness, and in the world too. As I say, there is no higher authority in all God's universe. He rules everywhere and supremely. And one day, of course, well, you will bow the knee to him, to King Jesus. The Bible describes him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, everything has been put under his rule, as it were, under his feet, until the end of history, the Bible tells us. But he has the authority. You can try and stop your ears all you want, sir, but that won't change the truth one iota, not one whit. Now, people, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you ought, for that reason, and that reason alone, simply because he is, and simply because he is Lord, for that reason and that reason alone, regardless of what else you understand or don't understand, for that reason alone, you ought to bow the knee to him, submit to him in repentance and faith, and to come under his sovereign, under his gracious rule. He says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He rules in grace, you see. Better, much better than the rule of your sin, much better than the rule of the evil one, of Satan. Sin's a hard taskmaster. It wants its pound of flesh, does it not? It takes the life out of you. It breaks you in body, it breaks you in spirit, it breaks you in your soul, it destroys you, it holds you and keeps you in misery. You want to be free of it sometimes, but you can't for the life of you. You try all kinds of remedies. You try all the psychobabble, but you can't get the breaking of those sinful habits, no matter how much you try. Sin is your master. There's a principle of sin within you that can only be broken, can only be cancelled by the supreme power of Jesus Christ, who is Lord. You see, to be saved, to know God's salvation in Jesus Christ, is to come under the rule of King Jesus. That's why he says, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel, in order that you might come under the rule of King Jesus, a rule of grace and love, as opposed to the misery of sin. Sin, that principle of sin within you, it cracks the whip, and you have to obey it. You have to do what it tells you. Well, try and go against it. Try and run against it. Try saying no to sin. See how far you get. Try breaking your sinful habits. You know as well as I do how hard that is. You cannot. You cannot, because inside of you is this principle of sin. Is this sin that has a vice-like grip upon you and won't let you go? You can't break it yourself. Religion won't do it. Morality won't do it. Good works won't do it. There's only one person who can break the rule of sin and bring you under his gracious, kind rule, and that's King Jesus. That's the one with the authority, the God-given authority, to rule in all realms. And he would rule over you graciously and kindly. But you see, you have this rebellious, you have this stubborn attitude within you. You were born with it, you see. We, each one of us, were born in sin, the Bible says. We were conceived in sin. And so you come in to the world, you see, with this stubborn nature, this rebellious nature. It's what the Bible calls transgressions. It's living with your fist in the face, not just of God's, but all authority. That's why you have rebellion in in your nation, the world over, everybody is in a state of rebellion, you see, until that principle, that rule of sin is broken, until you're released from it, and until Jesus Christ brings you under His rule. Then, people, and then alone, will you be able to meekly, as the Bible puts it, submit to the authority of King Jesus. But there's no rule like His rule. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's easy to get along with. He's good, He's kind, He's loving, He's forgiving. I, He says, even I am He who blots out your sins for my own sake and remembers them no more. Think about it. All your sin, the mountain of sin that you have laid up, storing up wrath for the day of wrath. All that sin wiped out, you know? Just as the same way that you take a plate, you know, a filthy plate, you run it under the tap and you wash it with soap and water until it's clean. Totally, absolutely clean. That's what Jesus does when He blots out a man or woman's sin. He washes them clean. He blots out their sin. And He says, I refuse, He says, to remember your sins anymore. You might harp on about them. You might not be able to forget about them. You might remember deeds that you did that you were so sorry for long, long ago, and you can't forget it. But God says, you put your trust, you put your faith in my Son, Jesus Christ, and I will blot out your sins, and I will consciously and deliberately remember them no more. Oh, I tell you, to be under the sovereign rule of King Jesus. Who would want religion? Who would want to be an Islamist? Who would want to be a Roman Catholic? Who would want to belong to a cult or sect? Who would want to belong to any false religion? I ask you, who would want to be an atheist? Who would want to submit to evolutionism, godless evolutionism? Who, I ask you, would want anything false when you're presented with such a rule as Jesus would bring you under? Liberating, setting you free, giving you excitement, vibrancy of life. I came, He says, that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Jesus will not take the life from you. He'll give you life. He'll give you life as opposed to your existence. Life forevermore. Life everlasting. Life eternal. In the name of Jesus, there is no higher authority. And there is no other name. No other name, the Bible says, under which a man can be saved. Under the entire canopy of heaven. Where do you come from? Syria? Iran? Iraq? Eastern Europe? The Far East? The West? The North? The South? It matters not. Your color, your creed, people, under the whole canopy of heaven, there is no other Savior, and His name is not Muhammad, ladies. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He has authority and ability to save and to bring men and women under His kindly and His gracious and His loving rule. Who would want anything else, I ask you, than this? But then the Bible says solemnly that Jesus Christ has the authority to judge. One day, Bible says, we shall all of us, yourself and myself included, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Some of you live with the delusion that when you come to God, you'll argue with Him. You won't argue anything. Your mouth won't be open. Your mouth will be stopped. The terror will be too much for you. No, people, when you come to God, there'll be no arguments. You won't be saying such as, you know, well, it's okay, you're God, I'm just a human being and a sinful one, it's okay for you to judge me. No, you'll be judged by a man. You'll be judged by the man Christ Jesus, because authority has been given to Him to judge the world in righteousness. So it's before Jesus Christ who is Lord. It's before him that you will stand in that day of judgment. Supposing you see for you to die, this you know. Constantly reminded of it. Loved ones pass away. Maybe somebody in your life, such as mine, dear friend of mine yesterday, passed away out of this world, not even in his 70s, but gone to be with the Lord Jesus, gone to heaven forever, saved in his teens. But you see, people, we're reminded constantly of the fact of death. Every time you pick up a newspaper, there's death on one of the pages, one of the items. Maybe somebody in your own life that's passed away shortly. You don't have to, you know, that's one of the things, preacher's job, he doesn't have to preach death, you know, because it speaks loudly and clearly for itself. It's so final, isn't it? It's like a steel wall that you come up against, and there's no way over it, round it. It's awful, it's terrible. But death, you see, the Bible tells us, came into the world because of one man's sin, and that sin and death has passed through us all, right through the generations. No, son, I won't. That I can't do. Never will shut up until I breathe my last. Good news to tell people, Jesus Christ is Lord, and you need to submit to him for salvation, deliverance from the judgment to come. But it's a point, did you see, every time you come across death, somebody else's, you know, it's a reminder to you, you're mortal, you're not going to live forever. You think that when you're young, don't you? I remember those days, back in the day, when I thought I was swinging the world by the tail. Life would never come to an end, but it does. Because it's divinely appointed for man to die once. But after this, then comes the judgment. That's not the end of the matter. Some of you tell me, now and again, you say, well, hey, man, I'm in hell already. And you think, well, it can't get any worse. And you think, well, when I'm dead, that's it, it's all over. My suffering will be at an end. No, it won't. It only just have begun. It's appointed for man to die once, and after this then comes the judgment. See, there's something to be saved from. Not just a matter that it would be a good thing if you were to agree with us and you become a Christian and, you know, that would be a nice addition to your lifestyle. No, no, people, there's something to be saved from. The Bible speaks about the wrath of God already being revealed against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But the Bible also speaks about the coming wrath of God, the day of judgment, when God will judge, through Jesus Christ, will judge the world in righteousness. And people, on that day, you will be judged, and so will I. And of course, the matter, the ultimate, the essential is, you know, what have you done with God's Son? The one sent into the world to teach you, to bring you to a knowledge of God and his salvation, the one who has the authority to bring you under his rule, his kindly rule, but you rejected it. You see, people, in that day we shall all of us give account. The Bible says, Jesus says, for every careless word you will give account. Is that not scary? How many careless words have you spoken? How many careless words have I spoken? People, we will give account for every one of them, Jesus says. So the only place of safety, you see, in the face of the certainty of death, in the face of the certainty of judgment, there is only one place of safety, and that is under the wings, under the umbrella of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The one sent by God, sent by his Father into the world to be the Savior of the world. And maybe, perhaps, I don't know, maybe your Savior, you here this afternoon, maybe perhaps it's you that he's here after this afternoon, speaking to you, speaking to your conscience, speaking to your soul. Yes, you can hear the outward voice of a preacher, but that's not enough. Can you hear the inward call of God in your soul, calling you to repentance, calling you to turn from your sin, and calling you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, full and free? One day, people, all the books will be open. The books of God's law, the books of life, everything that you've done, every transgression, every sin that you've committed against God, your very nature, all of these things, you stand before God and you give account for. So, you see, you either bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you bow the knee to Him as your judge. For the day is coming when every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make no mistake about it, He is that and more. And you need to bow the knee. I submit to you this afternoon as your Savior. He's there. He governs the world. He holds your very next breath in the palm of His hand. He keeps the universe, the galaxies, all the planets, the earth, everything. He maintains, He sustains it all. You could not breathe without Him. You could not know anything without Him. You couldn't do your science, you couldn't do your logic, you couldn't do your law and order, you couldn't do common decency, you couldn't do anything without Jesus Christ. In Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. No knowledge without the revelation of God. So, people, it's to Him I submit that you must turn. It's to Him you must come. With your fallen reason, you know, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Bring your wrong thinking to God's, to the straight edge of God's Word. And begin, as it were, to think God's thoughts after Him. And you find your heart, you find your mind changing. And you find your life changing. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And of course, repentance is always unto faith. It's a believing repentance, trusting that Jesus Christ will deal with your sin, that He'll forgive you, pardon you, and grant to you eternal life in His name. So people, the Bible, the Word of God, Christ as God, speaks in His Word in the Bible. It's offered to you this afternoon. You'd like a copy of God's Word, take home with you, read for yourself, see that these things are so. And who knows, but maybe God will be gracious to you, merciful, kind to you, and shine the light into your heart and mind, and reveal the knowledge of Himself to you in the face of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom alone there is salvation. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, come and ask us for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious